Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. Most in-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday, until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit dxengineering.com/hamnation. By ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation. And by FreshBooks, the ridiculously easy-to-use cloud accounting software used by over 10 million people. Try it free for 30 days at freshbooks.com/hamnation. This is Ham Nation, episode number 308, July 12th, 2017. Finally, the Pine Board Transmitter.
Hi, everybody. I'm back in the Ozarks, and things are working, I think. I'm Bob Heil, K9EID, and we're here with Ham Nation tonight. All kinds of good people, as usual. And let's go figure that out, who all's here. Gordo, how are you doing out in Costa Mesa?
Everything is fine out here, and wow, talk about everybody writing in for the band charts. Again, we've got band charts available free of charge. All we need are 15 first-class stamps and a mailing address back to yourself, and I'll send them out priority mail. But if you would, tell us how you plan to use the band charts with your club, as we give you some club instructor information as well, all free of charge. So that's my story. Back to you.
All right. Well, I hope everybody gets those charts. They're really nice and very helpful. So send old Gordo a note and you got it. And then let's go see what's going on in Mississippi. I'm not sure what all is happening, but George will tell us. How are you, George?
Hi, Bob. I'm doing pretty well here. I'm going to be out next week. I'm taking off a week and going out to see my son and his family in Houston. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the resistor color code, all about how to decipher those. Not really. But it would be a good week to talk about that. Just one more thing to say. I'll be back later because we're going to talk about an amazing noise suppression device. But one other thing I want to say is 3.579545, Bob.
Okay, we'll be back. We got to figure out what that all's about, right?
Yeah.
All right. Don, how you doing? You've been running around your Trans Am today. What are you doing?
No, I wish I were. It's been rainy down here. So, and I have an electrical issue with the car anyway. It's draining the battery, so I have to figure that out. But last night was my second Tuesday night on WTWW, the big shortwave. On 5085, 100,000 watts, of course, we're on 12.105 tonight as well with a huge signal into Africa. And, you know, on the nights that WTWW isn't simulcasting Ham Nation or talking, you know, the QSO radio show with Ted Randall, Ted is on there as a disc jockey because that's what he did back in Detroit. I mean, Ted was a big-time disc jockey. And, you know, with that voice of his, you ought to hear him do a music show. And he does. He does music shows at night. And, of course, you can still email him with ham radio questions or things about your ham fest or any announcements you want to make that's ham radio related. And he'll get those on those nights as well. But if you haven't checked out WTWW on other nights besides the night that we're on or on the Tuesday nights when he has QSO show, you really ought to because it's a really cool thing to listen to music on shortwave radio, Bob. It's amazing. Well, plus, we hear music with your organ music as well, which is wildly popular on WTWW. But check them out on the oldies in the country nights too. It's really cool.
Well, we are there each Saturday night doing this kind of stuff. So yep. That's one of my new CDs. And we're playing that monster theater organ, and we have a lot of fun. And what's really great is I get emails from all over the globe, and it's really fun. But that's a big transmitter, and they keep it running well. So WTWW. So I think we better go see what Gordo's got, because I know he's got some really cute stuff and interesting stuff and things we all need to know. So, Gordo, it's all yours.
Well, thank you, Bob. And wow, after band conditions 2 weeks ago on VHF and UHF, we are ready for this weekend. This weekend is the 2017 CQ Worldwide VHF Contest. Now, this doesn't run for two full days, but rather a day and a few extra hours. Starts at 1800 hours UTC this Saturday and goes until 2100 hours on Sunday mid-afternoon. And 50 megahertz on up. Avoid calling on the national 2-meter calling frequency and know your grid square. And thanks to Dan, N0URW, for bringing this to my attention. This is going to be a biggie because we're hoping that we're going to have some great band conditions, ideally on 6 meters. And then the big Central States VHF Society Conference on VHF and UHF coming out here to Albuquerque, New Mexico, July 27 to 30. Central States VHF Society, they're going to do it up big the end of this month. Well, let's put on our maritime caps and go for a little sea cruise. Here we go. Sea cruise. And this past Saturday, the ladies and leaders of the KM6CIR Net, that's the ladies of the net, KM6CIR, decided we needed to go for a boat ride. They were invited to come on down and take part in the British ship RMS Queen Mary. Now, this Queen Mary is quite a ship. It's right now undergoing some renovation, and it is standing tall, and it was this past Saturday. They boarded the Queen Mary about noontime, and they all had handheld radios, and radios are fine aboard the Queen. Queen Mary came to Long Beach in 1967, and a young man named Nate Brightman, K6OSC, had the idea of, let's restore the Queen Mary's radio room. And it was in 1979, working with the Amateur Radio Association of Long Beach, that the radio room was slightly relocated on the top deck. Yeah, hams always like to get up high for the antennas, and indeed, W6RO is on the air, and it was big time this past Saturday. The wireless room is up on the top deck of the Queen Mary, and so far, those operators, about close to 700 that are part of the regular Queen Mary operators that all dress in dark pants and white shirts and so on, they've seen about 1 million visitors come aboard the Queen Mary. And if you'd like to come aboard, bring a copy of your ham radio license and let them know ahead of time that you're coming at W6RO@QueenMary.com. And you'll be welcomed aboard. Or, that's the letter C, simply Google W6RO, and that's the Associated Radio Amateurs of Long Beach that keep that Queen Mary station going with Paul, Golf 2 Papa Alpha, as their docent for the day aboard the Queen. And the Queen Mary is live with old radio gear that the Queen Mary used during its many Atlantic crossings, and that is displayed just right above all of the elaborate radio gear that the operators and these ladies, and that's Tina, KK6KSY, working 40 meters. So you see, it's quite a nice setup aboard the Queen Mary for those with a licensed ham radio paper copy with them to be able to come on down and start operating. Debbie, WB6LVC, is in the foreground working 40. Amelia, KI6YYT on the 6-meter band. And yep, 6 meters was really hopping that day that these ladies were putting the Queen Mary on the air. W6JIL. That's Jody. Make that WA6JL. I'll get it straight, Jody. Jody, WA6JL, working 20 meters, and she made a ton of contacts as well. The boat was rolling around a little bit, so at one time she was this way and that way. But Tracy, who took these photos, indicated that was a great time. Oh, that is just great. I need my barf bag. Thank you. Oh, Brian is feeling up his oats. That's D, N6DEE. Nice call sign, D. Enjoying making contacts. She talked to France and Czech Republic and Croatia, all the DX on 20 meters. And when you come on the air with a lady's voice and say W6RO aboard the Queen Mary, yikes, it's a pileup galore. And Lauren, K6LIV, the younger member of this great group, had fun on several of the bands making contacts. As you can see, that station aboard the Queen Mary, floating right there in Long Beach Harbor, is quite a sight. And many of the members gathered at the end of the day for a photo. That's Debbie, WB6LVC, Jody, WA6JL. I got it right. Tina, KK6 KSY, that rollies regularly rolls net control also on a 7250 net as well as her net. D and 60EE, Lauren K6LIV, Maria KC4, Papa Golf Hotel. These ladies really lit up all the excitement aboard Queen Mary. Now, to get a wide shot of the Queen Mary, look at this. All of the older gear up on the top. All of that neat radio gear that manufacturers have donated and members of the ARA Long Beach group were able to keep humming on the air. And for more information about the Ladies Net, check out their QRZ site at KM6CIR. And thanks to Tracy for getting us all these great photos aboard the Queen Mary. So we hope that all of you will have an opportunity on your club's letterhead to write in for the free band charts that I have in quantity thanks to the W5YI group. And all I need is just a little idea as to what you're teaching and how the charts will be used, and they'll be coming to you free of charge. We just need 15 first-class stamps and a mailing address, and we'll supply the priority mail envelope. So that's our story here in very hot and warm Southern California. We've got a hurricane to the south. We have a hurricane to the south. It means that Hawaii to our west is soon to come back in on the 2 meter and the 440 band. Yahoo! Can't wait. So, Don, are you getting ready for Tyler to pass the test? And then he's going to probably do some shopping at DX Engineering. Right, Don?
I think he may. He's he's spending money on getting his truck running. But, you know, he'll have a nice platform to put a mobile radio in, that's for sure. Yeah, Tyler takes his test on Saturday, so hopefully we'll have a new technician in the family, and I have full confidence in my son.
Terrific.
So thank you for your great books and for the help, too. We appreciate that. DX Engineering, that's what we're going to talk about right now. They always have the newest radios from the major manufacturers. Here are three of the latest. George has one of these sitting on his bench right now, the ID 4100A. It gives you terminal and access point modes. You can access D-Star repeater networks through the internet regardless of repeater locations. You got that over there, George? Show it to us. There it is. Look at that. And it's got, does that have multi, it has multicolored display too, doesn't it? I believe you can change the color of the display. You probably, I don't think you can do it right now with its, with
the setup. Yeah, I don't know how, but you can. Ray did it.
Okay, well, Ray, if Ray can do it, then you can do it. That's for sure. Anyway, it's a handy feature to have if you're traveling. You don't want to research all of the local repeater networks. You got receive on 118 to 174 and 230 to 550, plus airband, marine traffic, weather channels, other VHF, UHF, public safety and utility communications. Easy to read multicolor display that George doesn't know how to work, but Ray does. What does that tell you? Makes it a smart choice for mobile use, giving you a comprehensive control and an intuitive setup, smartphone compatibility, optional Bluetooth module, even more functionality. Now, this would be a good one for my son and his truck that he's trying to put together. The Azu FT2980R, because it's 80 watts. So if he gets out there in the middle of nowhere and gets stuck, he'll have 80 watts to get back in case his iPhone doesn't work. And that's a great reason to have a high-power 2-meter radio in your car. Rugged 2 meter single band FM radio, perfect for mobile or portable use. And even at 80 watts, it does not need a fan because this thing has a heat sink that easily handles the power. The power is selectable in 80, 30, 10, and 5 watt steps. 3 watts of output make it easy to hear in noisy environments, like probably that clapped out exhaust that my son's going to have because, you know, he's too busy buying rims and tires. It has NOAA weather channels, gives you severe weather alert plus extended receive range for added versatility. Alphanumeric display, easy to decipher in a mobile setup, so you can tell exactly what repeater you are at a glance because you can name it. Also, the new FT70DR is a great choice for the portable op who is constantly flipping between analog and digital. This is Yaesu's radio. It uses automatic mode select AMS to automatically switch between digital and analog transmit modes depending on the received signal. Also incorporates a digital group monitor, which lets operators create and communicate with specific digital groups. Clever feature to use when there's a bunch of radio traffic between hams. The FT70DR covers 2 meters, and 70 centimeters with 5 watts of RF power. This is a nice dual-band radio. These brand-new radios are all available now at dxengineering.com. You can check them all out under the What's New tab to see the latest. And I don't have to tell you because you know, especially if you've ordered. And if you haven't ordered, what's wrong with you? DX Engineering ships faster than anybody else in the industry. Most orders placed by 10 p.m. Eastern time are shipped the same day. So that means proven products and expert advice. You know they have it. DX Engineering helps you shrink the globe. Request your catalog or shop online 24/7, 365 at dxengineering.com/hamnation. We thank them for being a big part of what we do. We're going to head over and see what Bob's got going on. But Bob, our friend over in New Jersey, Eric, into KOJ, he says his mom's watching, and she's back home from a fairly grueling surgery, from what I understand. And she's watching, and she says she's a fan. I don't know if she's a fan of the show, if she's a fan of you, if she's a fan of me, but it doesn't matter. She's a fan, and she loves us. So we love you too,
good
Justine. Hope you get better. Hey, there's your little heart. Kind
good
of
good for mom.
Never could make one of those. But Justine, thanks for watching. Bob, let's get into the board.
We're all a family here, so I guess she loves us all.
Absolutely.
Well, tonight is a night so many of you have been waiting for. The Pine Board Project has exploded. It's really great to see so many people building, and I did it modularly because we have other plans for the power supply, other plans for the preamp, and we went all through that. But what we haven't talked about, and I held it in not in suspense, I just didn't want you to get ahead. We wanted to make sure everything was going along. And we're going to go back and review each other. This is not a month project. This could go on for a long time. But tonight, so many of you have asked to see the transmitter. Well, there it is. Isn't it beautiful? That is a transmitter that's different from where we started. We started with a single 12AU7, and we might go revisit that. However, the situation with that particular transmitter is it's really a modulated oscillator. And here it is. It's quite simple and very cool, but it only puts out about a watt. And we might do it just because it's so much fun to build. It's so easy to build. And that's kind of a little fun thing to do. Well, the thing we're really looking at seriously is this guy. This guy is an ECO, electron-coupled oscillator, and it's controlled by this wonderful, wonderful set of tubes. The 6AG7 is a metal tube and used in the final of many, many transmitters in the early days. And then we use a 6V6 in a Hyzen modulation form to modulate that. And we'll get into how this works. I'm going to try in a week or two to start getting into how all of this goes together. But this is the transmitter that'll do about 4 watts easily. And I also have a switch on it. We're going to do that later for another thing, but it's all there. Crystal is on 3885 here. But this will work really well on 40 meters. And how you do that is like we did it in many of the old day transmitters. You'll notice the coil, and the really neat thing about this coil comes from MFJ, and we have to thank them for what they're doing. That is the final in one of their transmitters. And the situation with that final is that we are able to have, I think there's 41 turns, but we're tapping it, and we have this little clip, and we go in and do that and clip it on here. And now you see what we're doing is we're shorting out all of the rest of the coil, and all the tube C is this guy. And so we go in there, we clip it together, and we're only working with that, and it works great on 40 meters. That's the band switch. Now you can take that further. You can actually put a band switch. That's all that happens. But the rest of it is really simple and very, very cool. And it'll be easy to build. And I've built a couple of them. And then Richard, our mentor and great inspirator, W0BVT, this is one of his designs. He's built, I don't know how many of them, but he's built them that we can all live with. It's very simple. Let me get over here and do this for you so you can see what's happening. We'll dial up the other camera. And here is a shot of the complete schematic. And thanks to Gene, W4IQN, Gene does marvelous work. And there you have the complete schematic. And the crystal here, the 6AG7, oscillator final. There you saw the little shorting clip that we can make this either 40 or 80. And we did this in a simple L, not a pi, so that we only need one of the variable capacitors. And we can get into that later, just add a little bit more to it. And then the audio comes from that preamp we already built, comes into the 6V6. And the 6V6 then is modulating the screen, and that gets really good audio. The 4 Henry 50 mil choke works great. It's small, but it works well. We don't draw more than 50 mils with it. But all of these parts are available, and you'll be able to see these on the site. Here is how it all works out. And just a beautiful drawing that Gene has done. And you'll be able to copy that drawing, and you'll have everything there that you need as far as how it is put together. The layout is so simple. And along with that, why we do this for you, because we're doing pine board, you need to take the eight pin octal sockets, turn them upside down, and wire them. We did that on the preamp, if you remember. We did that on the power supply. It's a very easy way to build things. And you can just compare those parts with the layout and the schematic. And you can see really easy how it all goes together. And that's why I'm doing the pine board, because I want you to learn a little more about some of the circuitry. That is very important to me personally. I want you to come away from this project learning how these things work. George has done an amazing job. If you haven't seen some of that live here, go to the website, heilsound.com, H-E-I-L-S-O-U-N-D. Go all the way to the bottom, and there's an entire section about the pine board. All of the video clips are there. Really thrilled, and I thank you, Brian. I know it's a lot of work. He takes out just these little 10-minute and 12-minute segments that we do, and they're on that website. But here you can see what's happening. This is the 6AG7, and just go through and follow all of the parts and do this upside down, and then that will just lay on top of the chassis or the pine board at this point. It works really good, and it's easy to do it that way. So what you want to do is follow along with this. And here's a very important part. And if we don't do anything more tonight, this is it. This is the complete parts list, and not only just the parts list, but where all of these parts are coming from. And Gene has so neatly put all of these down here. A comes from SND tube sales. B, that's the tube sockets. And there's the part number from Antique Electronics. The standoff, I just was there yesterday. Lowe's has the standoff. Go into their, all those beautiful drawers they have, into their automotive section, and you can find the standoffs. I'll put it back up in a minute, and I'll show you what we mean by what we need for the standoffs. But all of those parts are here. And there's two parts that are very important that are not carried by Antique, and that happens to be the choke. The 2.5 millihenry choke, and that's available from Radio Days, DAZE. And last but not least, thank you so much, MFJ. This is the part number. Now, it's not in their catalog, but it's online. Or you can call them, give them this number. This is a special Ham Nation number. That's what the dot one or the dash one tells the order department what that is. And it's very inexpensive. We're so thrilled they did that. And then there's an alligator clip from them, too. So I hope you can copy that down, get that on your screenshot. But go to HeilSound.com. We'll have this back up in a day or so, and you can get that all going. And while you're at MFJ, I advise you to look at this device and purchase it. It's really cool. It's a QRP. Watt meter and SWR bridge. It's good for about 5 watts, maybe a little more actually, but get it. Because a regular SWR and power meter that's 100 watts, you'll never see it. This is really good for tuning the rig. We'll get into that in a few weeks when we fire it all up and show you, but we're giving you all the things you need to have in your inventory to build the pine board transmitter with the 6AG7 and the 6V6. So there is the parts list complete. There are the two tube sockets laid out. There is the complete layout. What a beautiful thing Gene has done here, WD4IQN. And that's how they're laid out. Now, let's take that layout, and we're going to put this down here. I'll turn it the way the layout shows, and you can see just how that works. I got to switch cameras. This is not NBC, and it's not as slick as the Twit Network in Petaluma. It's ham radio at its best, I'm telling you. But there it is. The transmitter is laid out just as the layout is here. As you can see, here's the variable capacitor. Here's the crystal. Here's the 6AG7. Isn't that cool how Gene has done that? And it's so easy to build. Now, you're going to need the little solder. Let me see if I can get a really good picture of that. You're going to need those tie lugs. You can see we've got the two of those used for the crystal. Oh, come on here. Get it on there. There you go. And there's several others throughout there. And that's what these guys are. So you want to get the tie lugs and all of that parts. They're all on the parts list. But that's what's happening. That's so important for you. There's the schematic. If you want to copy down the schematic, and there again, do a shot with the a screenshot with the replay, and you'll have everything you need. Schematic is great, and I appreciate Gene so much. He's really done some great work. And this will get you all set up and going. And All you need is a soldering iron and tools and time. And we'll go through this and keep reviewing in a couple of the weeks. Maybe we'll get her all set up to fire up for you, because we will be able to do that. But I think it's going to be a fun project for you. I can tell you this, that Richard and I, in the mornings, we are on 3885 with the MOCAM group. That's Missouri Kansas AM group. And we have a lot of fun working a couple of hundred miles with just a few watts on AM. And who knows where it goes from here. I can tell you, in the back of my mind, we're thinking about building a 6146 final, maybe get his 30, 40 watts. So that's all down the line. That's why I did it modularly, so we can take all of these things and just add on. I have other plans for the preamp. We'll make us an audio amp and build you a little hi-fi system or whatever. But it's really refreshing to see so many start. And one of the starts is you have to go to Hobby Lobby and you have to buy that piece of pine board. That's a cool deal. And they have this bare wood. And here I took their bare wood and I first stained it. And then I varnished it. And it's real pretty under there. You don't have to do that, but we did. And we have lots of other little things we'll tell you. A very unique way of mounting, like the coax connector. How do you do that? Because you can't drill a hole like in a chassis. We did it with that number 14 wire. And just all other kinds of little tricks we did. But we're telling you that, we'll tell you this as we go along. I just want to, this is a lot of information tonight. But there again, you'll be able to go back to HeilSound.com. And down in the bottom of the pages, past all of the microphones and all that, the Pine Board Project and all of the videos are there. And we're adding them all the time. And you can have comments and we try to answer all the questions. So I think that pretty much tells us where we're going with this project. And I hope that all of you get involved. I got some pictures. I'm sorry I didn't have time. I just drove in, as I said, a while ago. And I got some nice pictures from Virginia. She's got all of her parts laid out. She's ready to go, and she's built the initial project here. If you hadn't seen that, it's a nice thing to start with. She built a field strength meter and she did a beautiful job. I'll show it to you next week. But that's what's happening here in the station lab, and I'm having more fun than a kid in a carnival. So. What can I tell you? George, you know about having fun with all this stuff you build, right?
I certainly do, Bob. And I've got started here. I've been collecting my parts. So far, I've got these. But okay. I'm probably going to need to order a few more before I can really get to going good, I think. That it looks like a really fun project you're having there. I haven't ordered my parts yet, but, you know, you're making me want to really bad every week when I see this. So it's probably coming down the road pretty quick here.
Thank you.
Well, Bob and I were, we've been chatting about something in the emails here. We'll be back in a minute, and I've got something a little unusual to show you tonight. But first, let's get a message from ICOM.
Start this year's contest season with ICOM. Heard it, worked it, logged it? The time is now to get your contest and equipment. Let ICOM help you make as many contacts as possible. Start off strong in the contesting this season with the IC7300. Ideal for the ham on the go, it's a high-performance, innovative HF transceiver with compact design, RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, real-time spectrum scope, and SD memory card slot. Use the IC7851 and get the most out of contest season. Raise the bar and hear what others cannot with this HF 50 MHz transceiver reciprocal mixing dynamic range, crystal clear local oscillator design, spectrum scope, dual receivers, and digital voice recorder. The ICOM America Hamster Japan sweepstakes is coming to an end. There's still time to enter for a chance to win the grand prize, an unforgettable experience to attend the 2017 Tokyo Ham Fair. The drawing for the grand prize will take place July 17, 2017. For more information on all ICOM radios and contests, visit icomamerica.com/amateur today. And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to icomamerica.com/hamnation. Register to win some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. While you're there, learn how you can win in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. And for July, that new radio is going to be the ICOM ID4100A, a new entry-level D-Star mobile, 50 watts VHF, UHF, one band at a time, of course. This is replacing the ID880H. It's quite an upgrade. We've been shooting some video on it. Built-in GPS receiver, dot matrix display, micro SD card slot for voice and data storage, available Android and iOS applications, does both analog and D-Star, of course, but they've really made it simple in here. It's got the near-me repeater functions, all those functions you're seeing on the more recent D-Star rigs, the ID51As and all, are built into this radio right here. They've really simplified operation quite a bit. So go to icomamerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode of Ham Nation. Register to win, and also go there and check out the Hamster Japan contest. This is your last week to enter that. And you definitely want to. They're going to be drawing, I believe it's next Monday. So somebody is going to win a great trip to the Tokyo Ham Fair. Sign up. Good luck. And don't forget to follow ICOM America, Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. Bob, you and I were chatting in email a couple of weeks ago. You sent me an email it had the amateur radio newsletter in it. And there was an item in there they were talking about that you thought maybe we should mention.
Well, absolutely. There's always things. I love getting these newsletters from the various clubs, and they always have great ideas. But they were talking about some of the products out there that you can get rid of noise. And it has a lot to do with one of my favorite subjects of phasing. And I thought we should talk about that sometime. And
We definitely should. They were mentioning a review in there that a VA7MM Mark and VA7GI guy had done between the MFJ noise counselor and one made by TimeWave Technologies. They both work. Now, I've had one here for quite a while. The last time I tried it, it didn't help with the particular noise that I was having at that point. And since you and I were talking about it, I said, you know, I'm going to pull that out because I've got a particularly nasty noise right now that's plaguing 40 meters. I'm just going to try it again and let's see how it works. So here's my result.
This is the MFJ 1026 Deluxe Noise Counseling Signal Enhancer. Basically what it is a phasing type of noise cancellation system to get noise off your antenna. Here's the rear of the unit. There are several connections on the rear. You've got a connection here where you can hook a ground strap. You've got your main antenna input, the antenna you want to receive and transmit with. You've got a cable that runs onto the radio. Then you've got a TR control. So if your radio doesn't have a separate receive antenna input, you can use the same keying line that would key an amplifier to flip this unit in and out of transmit and receive. You've got an auxiliary antenna, or I would call it a noise antenna, where you run a second antenna input into the unit, and what it does is phases that one against the main antenna. There's two different ways to get an auxiliary antenna in the rear here. You've got a PL259, or you've got an RCA connector.
Now, there's another choice, too. This unit comes with a telescopic antenna that you can screw into the top here and use that for your noise antenna. Yeah, depending on your situation, it's probably going to be better if you can use an external antenna. Also, it needs 12 volts power, so you put your power into it right there. On the front of the unit, of course, we've got a number of controls here. The power switch to turn it on and off with. This also will bypass the unit when you turn the power off. A TR delay. If you're using the TR relay that's built into the unit, this is how you can set the proper delay for that. There's a preamp here for the noise antenna or the auxiliary antenna. That's probably only useful if you're using the little telescopic antenna. You probably won't need that on an outdoor antenna. The auxiliary antenna gain will control the gain from our auxiliary antenna. There's a button here to flip in the frequency that you're dealing with, high or low. Then there's a phasing control that allows you to set the phase between the two antennas that feed this unit. You've got a normal or an invert position here on a switch, so if you can't reach the proper phase in one position, flip it, reverse it, try it in the other position. And then there's a main antenna gain. This adjusts the gain of the main antenna for receiving. And, of course, there's a power LED on it. So the way this thing works is you're using two antennas, you're phasing them out, and then you've got to balance that gain on both antennas to where you get a perfect null of the unwanted signal, which is the noise. If you look up here at my radio right now, there's a horrible noise here on 40 meters. I can tell there's a station in there, but I have no idea what he's saying. Let's turn the unit on. Notice that noise go away. Noise is completely wiping him out. You can see the impulses of the noise right here on the audio scope. Now note that I've got the DSP noise reduction and noise blanker turned off of my IC7700 here. I want to be able to demonstrate this properly. I can turn those on, and it gets a lot quieter, of course, but it's not letting us hear as much of what this unit is doing, or is it? Let's look at how you adjust this unit. Several controls here. First thing you need to do is pick a main antenna gain to start with. Probably middle position is good there. Let's just mess up all these controls. The unit is doing nothing now. First thing I'm going to do is set the main antenna gain. Probably easiest if I just start it there in the middle at 5. The next thing I'm going to do is try to find the null using the phase knob here between the two antennas. Normal is in, so let's put the switch in. not finding anything there that seems to have any effect. So let's invert it. Looks like the null point is right in there. Now let's adjust the auxiliary antenna gain to get it properly balanced between the two antennas. Touch up the phase a little. So you can see, as Bob says, there's something to this phasing stuff. I'm going to say this unit works really well. That's going to depend on what kind of noise you're dealing with. It's not going to work with every type of noise that's out there, but certain types, if you can get a null on it there, that's a lot of difference. There you go. What do you think about that, Bob? Did the thing really work? Is there something to this phasing?
Of course there is. Absolutely. The most important thing is to play with what your sense antenna is. Your sense antenna is going to be important, and you might try different sense antennas. Sometimes what you think would work really good doesn't, and different placements of it and the position that it's placed in, or horizontal, vertical, east, west, north, south. All of that has to be experimented with, but you'll find it. But as we heard there, you can just bingo, dial out the noise, because what you're doing is you're taking those two signals, the noise signals and the sense, and they're out of phase. We've done that many times on the show. Maybe I should do it again and sometimes review that, George. That was great. Just great. Thanks a lot for doing that.
Oh, you're welcome, Bob, and I'm glad you brought it to my attention. You know, I hadn't tried it in a good while, and it could have been I just didn't have the right antenna arrangement last time I tried it. But what I used here is a 40-meter off-center fed dipole was the main antenna, because I was using the 40-meter band. The other antenna I had here is an 80-meter loop that would work on 40 if you tuned it, but I just use that for the sense antenna or the noise antenna or the auxiliary antenna, whatever you want to call it, the alternate antenna. And you need similar gain between the two. That little telescopic whip, I didn't have any luck at all with it. But you can see there, boy, what an amazing difference just a little bit of phase can make. Well, you know, last week I asked a question that came out of Gordo's general class study guide. And this is one Gordo had flagged especially for us. When sending CW, what does a C mean when it's added to the end of the RST report? Does it mean chirpy or unstable? Does it mean report was from an S meter rather than an estimate? Is it meaning 100% copy or key clicks? Well, we had a winner, and that was Steve Paltz. He says the answer to this week's question on Ham Nation is that adding C to the RST report means that the signal was chirpy. Congratulations, Steve, and that's the answer we're looking for. We're going to send you an MFJ Guardian Angel surge suppressor. These great work for HF, UHF, and VHF. You can get them in both SO239 to mate with the PL259 or type-in connectors, and a couple of different power ranges, too. A great way to add a little extra layer of protection to your valuable transceiver and amateur radio equipment there. Next week, I've got another question, and, well, I don't know if you can guess this one, but that MFJ 1026 noise counselor that we just looked at there, what's the secret sauce that makes that work? If you think you know the answer, send it to me, hamnationcontest@gmail.com. And you might win one of Gordo's books. We're going to be giving away another one of his books since we like to give away Gordo's stuff so much. And you'll be able to pick out whichever one you want. He doesn't care. And he's going to autograph it for you, too. So with an autographed copy of one of Gordo's books, you're assured to pass your exam. Or, you know, if you've already got your extra, maybe you want to get a technician book and give it to someone to help them get started. So thanks for that, Gordo. Somebody's going to win it if they know the answer to that question. So now I think, I need to toss it to Don because I need to know what's going on.
You know what else those books are good for if you're already past your extra is keep them in your library for reference, like George is doing there to ask those questions. And, of course, you can get those from, direct from Gordo and the W5YI group themselves, but also you can get them through DX Engineering. You can get them at HamFest. And speaking of HamFest, got an email from some folks over at in Wisconsin. Who sent me this? David, KB9EWG sent me this. The Riverland Amateur Radio Club Swap Fest is coming up. So check that out. Riverland Amateur Radio Club Swap Fest, that's over in Wisconsin. Is there a website on here? Probably, but I don't have my eyeglasses on. But just do a Google search for Riverland Amateur Radio Club Swap Fest, and you'll find out everything you need to know about that. And coming up, of course, next weekend, Tyler's taking his test, his technician test at the Slidell Louisiana Ham Fest. And the week after that, the 21st and 22nd, I'm going to be at the Oklahoma City Ham Holiday Ham Fest. They have graciously invited me to come out and speak at the banquet Friday night and hang out at the Ham Fest Saturday. And I'm going to do just that. So if you're going to be in the Oklahoma City area, I heartily invite you to come out to a really, really good Ham Fest. If you've been there in the past, just like Dayton this year, they have a brand new venue and it looks to be really, really nice. So hamholiday.com has everything you need to know. And I hopefully I will see you there. Let's go ahead and check out the news of the week now from Amateur Radio Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 2071, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, July 12, 2017. A jury has convicted a Rockford, Illinois man of killing an amateur radio operator and his dog 2 years ago and then setting their house on fire.
The verdict in the killing of Henry Murphy, WB9TFX, was announced June 30th, ending a case that began with the discovery of the bodies on July 18th, 2015. Prosecutors had said the killer, Delano L. Foreman, age 31, first robbed Henry Murphy, then shot both him and his golden retriever before setting three fires inside the Winnebago County home. Silent Key Henry Murphy was also a veteran of the United States Army. Foreman's attorney has filed a defense motion for a new trial and is scheduled to reappear in court on August 16th. But will remain in the Winnebago County Jail without bond until that time. If the defense motion is denied, he will be sentenced immediately. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
The big news out of Washington is that there is a nominee to fill one of the vacancies on the Federal Communications Commission.
The FCC General Counsel, Brendan Carr, is considered the next likely candidate to fill one of two empty spots on the commission. President Donald Trump has announced he will nominate the Republican, a move applauded by FCC Chairman Ajit Pai in a public statement that praised his record. The appointment, if confirmed by the Senate, would still leave one remaining vacancy to be filled, a seat reserved for a Democrat. No more than three members of the FCC are permitted to belong to the same political party. On June 14th, Trump named former Commissioner Jessica Rosenworcel, a Democrat, to fill another vacant seat, and she too must be confirmed by the Senate. She would be returning to the commission following the expiration of her term last year. A third vacancy is being created by the departure of Commissioner Minion Clyburn, another Democrat whose term has just expired. Brendan Carr is viewed as a major supporter of Ajit Pai's efforts to undo net neutrality rules that had been passed by the commission's Democratic majority. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Stephen Kinfort, NAWB.
It's almost time for Amateur Radio to celebrate the world's community of lighthouses and lightships, and the number of participating locations keeps growing. For that story, we welcome Amateur Radio Newsline's Kevin Trotman, N5PRE, who's joining us on the air with his first report.
Don't expect any certificates or prizes or other perks for contacts you may log next month during the International Lighthouse and Lightship Weekend. The 20-year-old event is not a sprint, a contest, or even an emergency drill. It's a celebration of these time-honored navigational aids. This year, the Lighthouse activations will take place on the weekend of August 19th and 20th. Lighthouse registrations were already at 240 and counting as of the first week in July, with Germany and Australia in the lead. Many other nations will be participating as usual, including South Africa, the U.S., Canada, Scotland, and Wales. There are also some new countries where hams can count on hearing CQ, including Serbia, where you can listen for Alex. Yankee Uniform 1 Charlie Alpha, operating near the banks of the Danube River at the Tamas River West Lighthouse. What it comes down to is an event that's part fellowship, part public relations. The activations are designed to be visible to visitors who can stop by and see the hams in action. In a way, that's keeping in the true lighthouse spirit, a shining little light, so to speak, on the amateur radio community. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kevin Trotman, N5PRE.
Welcome to this side of the microphone, Kevin. For the rest of this week's Amateur Radio News, please listen to the full Amateur Radio Newsline report online on a repeater near you or on shortwave radio station WTWW at 9930 and 5085 kilohertz. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, Stephen Kenford, N8WB, Kevin Trotman, N5PRE, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe. I'm Don Wellbanks, AE5DW, 73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now, here's the solar update with Dr. Tamitha Scove.
We've just come down from a mini solar storm, and it looks like there might be another on the way. And there's a massive sunspot that is in the Earth strike zone right now, and it's even fired off a couple big flares. Those stories and more in the news this week. The solar activity has really picked up this week. We had just come down from a mini solar storm due to a corona hole that's now rotated to the sun's backside. And then all our focus changed to region 2665 that came onto the East Limb like gangbusters. This sunspot is massive. We've been watching it and been very surprised considering we're so close to solar minimum with how large this thing is. It's fired off a couple decent-sized C-class flares and an M-class flare that actually did give us a small radio blackout and kind of made the ham radio bands of 20 and 40 meters kind of go dead for a little bit. Meanwhile, as it's rotated now into the Earth strike zone, it has fired off a couple mini solar storms. Those should be hitting us probably around the 15th. Not expecting a big disturbance, but we could see some aurora. Switching to your M-flare threat meter, you can see things were quiet for quite some time, and then the X-ray flux started rising. That's when region 2665 came into view, and bam, on the 9th, it fired off an M-class flare. You can see it there, followed by a couple C-class flares. That was when the growth was happening, but things since then have kind of quieted down. We're not seeing a lot of activity from it right now, although it has been firing off some mini solar storms as it's rotated through the Earth strike zone. So it's kind of a wait and see right now, but it has helped the solar flux a bit because that's back up to marginal levels. So the ham radio ops, you guys should be enjoying some decent propagation. Switching to our solar storm conditions, things have been pretty quiet until about the 9th when we got hit with that mini solar storm due to an ejection from the sun, followed by some fast wind from that really tiny coronal hole I was talking about earlier. But things were really kind of sporadic and jumbled, so we had just a touch of aurora here and there that quieted down reasonably quickly. And now we're kind of in a wait-and-see mode to see what region 2665 is doing. We do think there's going to be some solar storms, some minor solar storming, probably similar to what we saw back on the 9th, again, starting around the 14th or 15th. Switching to your solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week. We are quiet right now, but we are anticipating the hits of those minor storms starting around the 14th to the 15th. At high latitudes, NOAA is expecting about active conditions with about a 40 to 50% chance of a major storm. At mid latitudes, we're only expecting unsettled conditions, which could then ramp up to probably active conditions with probably a 25 or 30% chance of a minor storm. And those conditions could easily continue over the next few days, maybe even through the end of the week. Switching to our solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, all eyes are on region 2665 as it transits the Earth-facing disk. NOAA is giving us about a 20 to 25% chance of an M-class flare with even a hint of a chance of an X-class flare. So you amateur radio operators and GPS operators, look out, especially on the day side. You could have a chance for radio blackouts. You GPS operators, worry more about the Dawn Dust Terminator and flying your UAVs during that period, because that's when you're most susceptible with the GPS signals. The nice thing is that the solar flux does remain high. It's almost back into the green. So this region is giving us a nice little boost, which will help amateur radio propagation across all of the bands. Now, as far as particle radiation storm is concerned, we don't have a threat yet. But as this region rotates more to the west side of the disk, we could probably see these levels rise. So the space weather this week has really gotten exciting. We have region 2665 as it rotates across the Earth-facing disk. It's already fired off a couple mini solar storms that will be on their way, possibly hitting us around the 15th. So you aurora photographers, get your shutter fingers ready and hope that we get some decent aurora out of this one. Now you amateur radio operators and GPS operators, you're having to deal with a few issues here and there. You amateur radio operators, it's probably noisy on the bands. And you have to deal with possible radio blackouts, especially on the day side. You GPS operators, just know you're going to have some issues, probably more susceptible around the Dawn Dust Terminator, because that's when things get hectic anyway. So just kind of deal with it. It's going to have to last until this region rotates off the Earth-facing disk in about a week. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for watching.
Thank you, Dr. T. Good to have you back on the program tonight. We miss you when you're not here, but we know that you have a busy schedule and family comes first and the job and everything else. So we appreciate you making time for us. I know a lot of you are out there waiting patiently for your Ham Nation 300 certificates. We had a hiccup with the website that generates those things and delivers them. So we're trying to work through that. And hopefully we'll have those certificates done for you just as soon as we possibly can. I know that some of the 13 colony certificates are already being delivered, and we should have had those out already. But be that as it may, we're working feverishly on getting those Ham Nation 300 certificates to you just as soon as we possibly can. Had a website upgrade, which monkeyed some things up, which that oftentimes does. But if you haven't sent your QSL cards in for Ham Nation 300, by all means, get those in. We've sent a lot of them out so far, and we'll keep doing that as long as you keep sending them in. We'll keep sending them out. Don't forget your SASE. Had one or two that did not have an SASE, but I ponied up the postage anyway because, well, you know, I'm a nice guy. Dale's a nice guy, too. Dale, why don't you jump in and tell us what's going on? Oh, also, don't forget, the Ham Nation 300 challenge continues through the summertime. Right, Dale?
Think that could be a lot of fun for a lot of people out there to accept the challenge and try to get a spot on Ham Nation sometime in September. The top three scorers will be able to appear on Ham Nation. That should be kind of nice. And for tonight, video-wise, we've got two field day videos that came in after our last video segment and a quick demonstration of sporadic E propagation. We'll jump right into Field Day 2017 now. Check out the Fox Cities Amateur Radio Club operation. The report is courtesy of Dan in 9LVS.
The Fox Cities Amateur Radio Club held their 2017 Field Day event at the Valley Aero Modelers Field, just north of Appleton, Wisconsin. The first thing to go up is the tent, which will become our visitor center. It'll contain the guest log, the operator's log, and a bunch of information on amateur radio. It also became kind of the hangout shack. The next thing to go up was the tower. Uh-oh, we don't have a tower. Well, an extension ladder does good in a pinch. So up goes the extension ladder slash tower, with a nice multi-band dipole at the top. Next thing to go in place was the operating trailers, one for CW and one for sideband. While all that was going on, the 6 meters and up station was also going up at the same time. And with about an hour to spare, the field day camp is ready to go. One final check of the CW station and the sideband station, as well as the 6 meters and up station, and we're ready to go. We did have some visitors that offered to help. Well, 1 o'clock hit, and the CW station was off and running, as well as the sideband station. they made quite a few contacts right off the bell. And not to be outdone, the VHF station logged quite a few 2-meter contacts right away. Well, it didn't take too long and the sideband trailer found its rhythm and really took off. And the CW masters in the CW trailer really brought their A game. Well, finally, after everything got settled down, it's time to do a little bit of relaxation. Come nightfall, the sideband station switched over to RIDI and mounted up some more contacts. We also got lucky with a few satellite passes during the night. Come morning, the CW station was still pounding away, and the ladder antenna was holding up just fine. The sideband station was working out pretty good as well. We even caught an opening on 6 meters. At the Foxy's Amateur Radio Club, we treat Field Day as more of a social event rather than a contest. Sunday morning, the bands finally opened up, and quite a few people tried their hand at the sideband station with quite a bit of luck. Hitting toward 1 o'clock on Sunday, and the CW station finished out strong. These two little generators really worked out nice. And that was Field Day 2017. I hope you've enjoyed this video. And 7-3 from N9LVS.
Thanks, Dan. We did enjoy it. We thank you for bringing us up to date on the Fox Cities Field Day up in Wisconsin. To wrap up our Field Day coverage, John, VE7TI, sent us a short drone video from the Surrey Amateur Radio Club's Field Day. That's up in British Columbia. Let's watch. You gotta love those antenna launchers. That's all right. John, thanks for editing down your drone video and for getting it to Ham Nation Videos here on Twit TV. One of the things that pops into the top of mind this time of year is sporadic E propagation. This year, Larry, WD0AKX, uses his 10-meter handheld to show us just what we can hear.
Hi, Larry, WD0AKX, coming to you from the backyard today. Just want to remind you to check out 10 meters and 6 meters. There's been a lot of sporadic E-type skip openings lately. Best time is late morning hours and in the evening hours. So I've been hearing a lot on my 10-meter handheld here. Let's do some tuning around, see what we can hear today. It's actually early evening right now here in Minnesota.
Well, first thing I hear is a beacon station, K4JEE, in Kentucky. Well, we'll go up to the sideband portion of the band. Several signals coming in right now, none of them real strong at this time, though.
73, and thank you for letting me in. This is Victor Echo 3.
And there's a station from Ontario, a Canadian station. And don't forget about the FM portion of the band. Let's check that out. A lot of people stay down on the sideband portion and miss out on the FM activity.
Okay, yeah, name is George. Yeah, running an original 1970s model super penetrator 5/8 wave vertical antenna. Over.
And don't forget to check out the AM portion of the band, around 29 megahertz. I tried putting out a few CQs of my own, but the band just isn't quite up enough for an HT and a rubber duck today. So remember to check out 10 and 6 meters for sporadic E activity 7-3.
Just want to remind you to check out 2 meters or not.
Okay, great advice, Larry. Fantastic informational video there. A lot of fun this time of year, late July, for sporadic e-propagation. Check it out. Give it a listen every once in a while on 6 and 10. Keep an eye open for openings, or maybe an ear open for openings. You can find all of Larry's videos on his Radio Ham Guy YouTube channel. If you do a search, that is one word, Radio Ham Guy. That's Larry WD0AKX. And that's it for tonight's video segment. Presenting the video queue is empty presently. So if you have a video featuring your experimentation or a local event, get it to us in the next week or so. And your video could be featured next here on the video segment. Do send your shack photos too, and use the email address at the bottom of your screen. Well, let's bring Don back in now. Let him wrap up the show. I think he's got a word about FreshBooks. Don, take it away.
I do, Dale. Thanks. Good stuff. And yeah, Larry does great videos. He's an asset to the hobby and the YouTube community, that's for sure. This episode of Ham Nation brought to you by FreshBooks. FreshBooks is an all-new version of a cloud accounting software. Like I said, they have their new version. It's going to make running your business easy, fast, and secure. FreshBooks has a dashboard that gives you quick access to spending, outstanding balances, total profit, accounting reports like sales tax summaries, profit and loss. And if you run a business, you know how hard that stuff can be to take care of. It also has a new time tracking feature that makes it easy to bill for time by client and specific projects. Just press play to track your time right to the minute. When it comes time to create an invoice, you'll know exactly what you did and when you did it. You can send professional-looking invoices online, get paid an average of 11 days faster. And with FreshBooks payments, your customers can pay straight from their invoice. You can see what invoices have been sent, viewed, and paid, as well as outstanding invoice totals. You can brand and set recurring invoices as well. Send automatic payment reminders, set automatic late fees, an amazing feature set on FreshBooks. Stay connected to your clients. Keep tabs on your business no matter where you are with the FreshBooks app. Just snap a photo of your receipt or connect with your bank account and credit card. It will automatically import expenses daily. FreshBooks integrates with some of the apps you already use, and some of you will be glad you found too, like Stripe, Shopify, Gusto, Acuity Scheduling, and more. And, of course, they're adding new features and improvements to their platform on a weekly basis. FreshBooks, you can now create and send estimates to your clients from the FreshBooks iOS app. Send invoices to multiple people in an organization by adding them as secondary contacts. Get detailed overview of client payments with the new payments collected report. No wonder they were included in the Forbes Small Giants list for 2017. Try it free for 30 days at FreshBooks.com/HamNation. Enter HamNation in the How Did You Hear About Us section. And FreshBooks, thank you so much for supporting this episode of Ham Nation. We don't have Amanda tonight. She is taking a family night, but I'll tell you where the nets are. 40 meters is on 7192. 20 meters is on 14260. Of course, D-Star always on 14 Charlie. EchoLink is on the Star Dewdrop in EchoLink conference server, and TAC 311 for DMR. So get out there and participate in the nets. Those net control operators will be more than happy to have you in there and add to the numbers, say hello and whatnot. And we even check in sometimes as well when we can. So, Bob, back to you tonight. We've had a good show tonight, a full show. Good stuff tonight.
I've been reading looking through my mail, and my new electric radio comes up. You guys and girls aren't getting this, please. Electric radio. It's really cool, especially for those that are building things. And it's just marvelous. All kinds of great stuff you can learn in electric radio. Saturday, I think, I'm not quite sure. We're working on the time schedule, but there's a great ham fest up in Warrensburg. It's just east of Kansas City. And Centerview school there. There's a secondary school at Route 50 and 58. That's where the ham fest is, from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. So we might show up there. We'll see. As I said, I just got in here. Thing is all crazy here tonight, but we got across what we needed. So still unpacking all my stuff. We had a great club meeting with the Rainbow Club in Utah. It was wonderful. And I do a lot of club meetings. If you guys and gals have a club, email me. Let's do it. I love visiting clubs. I do them by Skype. Do all kinds of demos and drawings and helpful things of how to make things work. And so give me a buzz and we'll visit your club via Skype. It works great. Also, I wanted to let everybody know, why are we watching live on black and white? It has to do with the net neutrality thing. And go to EFF.org, EdwardFrankFrank.org, tell you all about it. It's kind of one of those political things. But when you watch the replay, you'll get to see all the beautiful colors that I, of all nights, I would have all of my red and with the pine board. But so the live guys won't be able to see it. But thanks for putting that up. Brian, that's great. Well, I really enjoyed tonight. I hope that everybody learned good things from Dale. Dale, you had great videos tonight. And, of course, George always teaches us good things. And, Don, you're just the best. And anything else, Don? You got some words of wisdom before we launch out of here?
Wow, that rarely ever happens. No, not really. Just remind you again that you know, we're all available for Skype. I've done several club meetings myself on Skype, and I've checked into, been a guest on several nets. In fact, I got an invite to be on a DMR net tonight. I'll tell you more about that as we get closer to it. But that's always a lot of fun. And again, thanks to the folks in Oklahoma City at Ham Holiday for inviting me to their Ham Fest. If you're going to be in Oklahoma City on the 21st, that's a Friday. The 22nd is a Saturday of July. That's not this coming weekend, but next weekend. Come by and say hi. Sure would like to meet you. And I'm looking forward to being back home. And again, let's all wish Tyler good luck going for his tech this Saturday in Slidell, Louisiana. Good luck, Tyler. You got it. I know you do, buddy. Love you. Bob?
Going to do that. Yes, sir. All right. Well, have fun in Oklahoma. We're scheduling a concert down there in Tulsa. I have to let all of you know sometime in September. So we're going to be there firing up the big whirly. Well, I think that's all from here. We're going to round it all up. Anybody else have anything? George, anybody left here? Gordo, Dale?
Yeah.
Anybody have anything we need to talk about?
Yeah, I got just one thing I want to mention, Bob. I will be gone next week. So on the contest to win one of Gordo's books there, we'll be giving that away in 2 weeks. So you got a little while to answer yet. Think about that noise canceler, how that works. And Friday night, 8 Central, 0100 UTC. We're going to be shooting the next Amateur Logic. You can catch it live.amateurlogic.tv. We're going to be doing our field day wrap up there. You know, I didn't get to go out in the woods and do it this year. We did it here in the shack. So we did things a little differently. And plus, we had those new filters, too. They worked out pretty good. But anyway, we're going to be doing a wrap up on that, and just showing what we did for our field day this year. Bob?
That'd be good. And, of course, Valerie will be back next week with some of her great knowledge on contesting and DXing. And we'll all be back here right here on Ham Nation on the Twit Network. Thanks to Leo Laporte. Thanks to you, Brian, and everyone in the chat room. We'll catch up with you next week here on Ham Nation. I'm Bob Heil, K9EID. And we're off and running and going to fire up the AM and see what happens. Bye-bye for now.